The election is now 2 days away. And for months, we have been bombarded with all kinds of messages and predictions. People saying that this is what's going to happen if Trump wins. And people who are saying that this is what's going to happen if Kamala wins. And depending on who you're talking to, that's either going to be the end of the world, or it's going to be the beginning of better times. And Christians, I'm not saying that the election isn't important. I do think it's important, and it makes a difference who you vote for. And I'm not saying that the election isn't going to have important consequences for the days ahead. But what I am concerned about is the fear-mongering and the paranoia that people try to exploit. Because it drives people either towards despair, especially if things don't turn out the way that they think it's going to turn out to go, or it can leave them open to influence by all kinds of people claiming to know what's going to happen. Even so-called prophets who claim that God has told them that this is what's going to happen. And that sets people up for an even bigger disappointment when it doesn't turn out that way. And in the case of false prophets, it could even damage or kill their faith. Christians, when fear keeps our eyes fixed on the here and now, on the problem in front of us, it's very easy for us to stumble and fall. But I want you to consider the example of the saints, especially today as we celebrate All Saints Day. Think about what Peter wrote in his first letter. He says in chapter 2, "Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor." We might not think much about that last bit, to honor the emperor, until we remember that the Roman emperors at that time were not Christians. In fact, the Roman emperors, in many cases, were worshipped as if they were gods, or at least descended from gods. And some of the later emperors would become the worst enemies of the church. And yet Peter can still say to the Christians at that time, honor the emperor, obey him as far as possible. How was he able to do that? What gave him such confidence? Or consider the examples of the martyrs, the things that they endured for the sake of the kingdom of God, and how they reacted to their suffering. Like Lawrence, for example, who was grilled alive, and yet he could joke to his tormentors that they should turn him over. Or Polycarp, who was burned at the stake, and yet when they went to tie him up and bind him, he asked not to be, because he said he was not going to move in the midst of the fire. What was it that gave them such confidence? What was it that made them fearless about what was to come? Well, we see the answer to that question in our Old Testament reading for today, from Psalm 97. Because listen to the first three words of the psalm, Christians. The Lord reigns. That is the answer to the question. We can face all things, whatever the world may bring, because the Lord reigns as king over all things forever. And that is, as the psalm says, a cause for rejoicing. Even the earth itself will rejoice that the Lord reigns as king. And it's why we can be glad even in the very worst of times. No matter how the election turns out on Tuesday, the Lord still reigns as king. And nothing can change that fact. And notice what else the psalm goes on to say in verse 2. Clouds and darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. These clouds and darkness surround him just as they did at Mount Sinai. when God had to hide himself in all of his glory and power so that his people would not be overwhelmed. It was a sign of his mercy to hide himself in this way so that Israel would not be destroyed. And yet think about what that means, Christians. God is so powerful that he has to conceal himself. He has to hold back so that we are not destroyed. And if God is that powerful, if the God who upholds all things and who has created all things is the one in control, why should we be worried about anything? And he also goes on to say that righteousness and justice is the foundation of his throne. God will always do what is right. God will always do what is best. And those who stand against him will receive their due judgment because the Lord is holy. And the same holy Lord watches over his people. Why then should we fret and worry about what tomorrow may bring? The greatness of his power also causes the earth itself to tremble. The psalm goes on to say in verse 5, "The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth." And think about what that means, Christians. It doesn't just mean that the Lord is able to overcome all things as if he could go over the mountains with ease, although he certainly can. It means the mountains themselves melt away before the Lord. The mountains themselves must give way to the God of all things. He gives the word and he clears the way. There is nothing that can stand against him. And if the mountains melt like wax, Christians, before the Lord, do we think that he's somehow going to be unable to take care of all the affairs of men? And if the mountains must give way before him, do we think that God is somehow going to be unable to do something about our situation? God's power is unlimited, and all the earth will bow before him, because he is the Lord of all. Why then, Christians, should we listen to anything else? Why should we listen to political pundits, the talking heads on the TV, all the so-called prophets claiming to know what God is going to do? Why should we turn to some other God, hoping to find certainty in that way? The psalm goes on to say in verse 7, "All worshippers of images are put to shame, who make their boast in worthless idols. Worship him, all you gods." Seeing the power and the majesty and the holiness of God should make us see idols for what they actually are. Nothing. They can't do anything. They can scare us. They can try to get us to turn towards them. All they want to do is use us as a way of trying to influence us, to turn our eyes away from where we really should be looking. But they have no power. And even they will fall down before God. Even they will bend the knee in the end. Because the Lord is the Most High over all the earth, exalted far above all so-called gods. And all of this leads up to the last part of this psalm. It says in verse 10, "O you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the lives of his saints. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked." This God who reigns over all things is the one who preserves the lives of those who trust in him. This God who is exalted above all so-called gods is the one who will deliver you from every danger. God in his wisdom may still let you suffer in the body. We may have to suffer much for the sake of the kingdom of God. And there has been many a saint who has suffered physically for the kingdom and endured times just as bad, if not worse, as ours for God's sake. But God will never let us suffer in the soul. He holds us in his mighty hands. And no matter how much the world tries to fight against us, no matter how much the world tries to take us out of those hands, they can't do it. Because God is mighty. No matter what the world does, the saints are secure in God. And also in verse 11 it says, light is sown for the righteous and joy for the upright in heart. Pay attention to that word, sown. God has planted light and joy. Just like we plant our crops in the spring. And we plant those crops knowing that something more will come. Because when we put the seed into the ground, Christians, do we expect the harvest to come immediately? Do we expect it to spring up right away and to give us the harvest? Or do we not recognize that we must wait for a time, knowing that eventually it will come? It is the foolish farmer who expects these things to happen right away. But the wise farmer waits patiently for what he knows will be. The seed will bear fruit, and there will be a harvest, the reward of his patience. And so it is also for us, Christians. Though we cannot see it now, God has planted light and joy. And these things will surely come. He will give a harvest to those who trust in him. We might have to wait for a long time, but the outcome is sure. Joy will be ours, and we will see the light of God after the darkness has cleared away. Both now in time, as he works all things for good for those who love him, and also in eternity, when we will reap a harvest which will never come to an end. And in closing, Christians, I want to tell a story. There was a man on a stormy night in 1653 by the name of Bulstrode Whitelock. And he was very troubled on this particular night because he lived during a time in England when everything was going wrong. The nation had been torn apart by a civil war. The king himself had been executed. And it seemed as if nothing was ever going to go right again. And as he fretted and worried on that stormy night, his servant noticed that he was worried. And he turned to him and he asked him, "Sir, may I ask you a question?" "Well, of course." "Sir, do you trust that God governed the world well before you came into it?" "Well, yes, of course." "And sir, do you trust that God is going to take care of the world long after you are gone out of it?" "Well, certainly, absolutely." "Well, then excuse me, sir," the servant said, "but can you not trust God to take care of all things while you are still alive?" Whitelock didn't say anything. He simply rolled over in his bed and was soon fast asleep. And Christians, may we sleep just as securely, knowing that the Lord reigns as King forever. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who reigns as King over all, help us always to trust in you, knowing that you will care for us through all things and work all things for good, both now and in eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.